How many ever go with the flow? How many of you ever wanted to say, well, I'm just going to go with the flow? Huh? I think a lot of us do. Yeah, that's the flow you want to stay in. Yeah. There's a breathtaking phenomenon that takes place. Most people describe it as an ordinary light. Now, I've seen them and I've never been up close to them. But it is. It comes. It's beautiful. The colors. The aurora are really actually waves of light and energized particles from the sun that bombarded the Earth's atmosphere at approximately, I can't even fathom this, 44 million miles per hour. And when they hit the magnetic field of the Earth, they are pulled together, the poles, and depending on the gases in the atmosphere, that's what forms the beautiful colors in the atmosphere. Wavy lights that shimmer and shine. Have you ever seen it on your light?
Stan has.
It's just fascinating, the things that take place. Now, we understand it in our modern day and time, but can you imagine them poor people that didn't have all the modern technology and this kind of stuff, and things like that were happening in the heavens? Well, strangely and ironic, this beautiful phenomena is called by violent solar storms that they call solar winds. Now, there was a man by the name of Galileo. You remember Galileo? When he finally decided and figured it out that the Earth wasn't flat at all and that it was round. And we revolved around the sun. And the thing at that time, people thought that the sun revolved around the Earth because of the sunrises and the sunset. And now we know. But he was way ahead of his time. But he named this thing after a Roman goddess, the Aurora, or the Greek god of the north wind. The Aurora Borealis is indeed made of light and magnetic movement. Often these experiences in our own life are the most beautiful and impactful ones in which beauty and joy, hear this, beauty and joy rise up out of storms. I think we've all had storms in our life. But beauty and joy rise up out of these storms. Think about the rainbow. The human emotions of human beings often peak with tears and light of joy and, more important, hope. Do you cry when you are moved and happy? You know, I cry a lot. Sometimes I tell you I'm a crybaby because sometimes when those emotions or a blessing or something that God has done in my life just moves me, I get holy bumps all over me. And I weep tears of joy because you feel energized and strong, not only in the spiritual sense, but in the physical sense when you do a workout. That's why people like to run and do physical exercise and workout. It gives you a sense of elation, if you would, when you're tackling something challenging. Love stories. I get to watch Hallmark sometimes. Phil and Betty watch Hallmark. How many of you watch Hallmark? Well, those kind of love stories, sometimes they're a little silly. But anyhow, love stories make us both feel sad and yet warm in our heart. These kind of peak moments usually result from a kind of intensity of the moment, an immersion, if you will, of a kind of experience in which you are fully in tune to, something which touches us holistically in a powerful way, just as looking at the aurora of the northern lights, a sight for some so beautiful that it evokes an emotional response of peace and joy and just awe. We can also have these kind of experiences other times in our life when we especially are attuned to something both actively, spiritually, philosophically, psychology, and more important, emotions. People do studies of this kind of stuff. I don't know what makes them decide when they're going to do their doctorate thesis or something like that, they'll take some, and they'll study it. And it's interesting, and it comes out into a book. And it's called The Flow. And the flow of life is interesting. They come up with this stuff when they do these research things, and artists, for example, so that they can get lost or immersed in their work, that they lose all sight of time and basic needs or things going around them. They experience kind of a euphoric engagement with their creativity and become fully engrossed in what they're doing. They feel energized, and sometimes they'll call it, well, I'm just in the zone. Or in the flow. But you don't have to be an artist to feel that kind of freedom in the present moment of your life. Many can reach this kind of meditative and entirely absorbed in the activity of the moment, hyper-focused, immersion state in any other kind of ways. It's interesting how our physical bodies and our spiritual bodies allow us to understand things. When we read, we get these kind of exciting things going on. When we dance, when we feel love, when we meditate. Meditation is really a Christian thing. Yoga is okay, I guess, but meditation on the Spirit of the living God is so important. What the Bible say? Be still and know I'm God. That's when you start to meditate, or when we pray, or when we do such activities as yoga, or worship, which we're here this morning, worshiping in spirit and truth. The state of flow is a holistic, euphoric kind of response that stimulates the inner clarity of our life. It's joy. And it frees us from worries and daily stresses of the day. It plunges us into a timeless kind of state for a while that infuses us with singularity of purpose, drive for mission. We all have a mission. We all have an assignment, by the way, from God. That's why I'm convinced He never calls us home until we complete that assignment in this life. This leaves us energized and renewed. It relieves us of stress and refreshes us for our day. So in a sense, these kinds of spiritual awakenings, if you would, that have some spiritual experience or euphoria that some has experienced, the communion with God that have been experienced by billions and billions of people in this world, they all contain this element of flow. For a brief period, time melts away, and you're perfectly attuned to a moment in which you feel connected, elated, touched in a way that heightens your reactions and your senses and gives you a sense of joy. You know, we always think about having five senses, but there's really six senses, according to some folks that have done some of these studies, and the pheromones is one of them. It's the animals have it, and they're realizing now we have it too. So really we got six senses that gives us joy and peace and energy and motivation. Some would say that this is our reaction when we're touched by the Spirit of the living God. You know, when Jesus said that He was going to go home and be with the Father, He was going to send one greater than Him, which is the Holy Spirit. The disciples in Acts experience that. And when you finally make your decision for Christ and you say, Jesus, come into my heart, you don't get Him in pieces. You get Him all. God the Father, God the Son, and more importantly, God the Holy Spirit. Being on Pentecost Sunday or Methodist Pentecostal. Pentecostal is just not a denomination. We who recognize the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit are all Pentecostal. It's wonderful to allow yourself to understand that you have Christ in your heart, you have your spirit connecting with His spirit, and the joy of the peace, or what we call the fruits of the Spirit. Now, not everybody accepts the gift of speaking in tongues and some of the other gifts that come along with it. But more importantly, the gift of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, Jesus described it this way. Out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. And that's exactly the way that we should be describing the state of flow. A feeling of freely flowing in a state total of engagement and connection with our body, which we have, our mind, which we have, which is our intellect, and our soul, our spirit. The Holy Spirit touches all of us in a way that causes us to erupt when the culmination of the peak emotional experience, and it is emotional, and it's an experience, but it's a good one. One that heals, that energizes us, feeds us spiritually, pleases us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. One that causes us to become refreshed, confident, and ready to take on the world in a new and exciting way. Think of all the times that Jesus touched people when he was here on this earth and healed them. They not only felt it in the moment, but it changed their life completely. So when the Spirit flows within us, we live a life free of stressors. Not stress, but stressors that bombard us. And instead, we glow with that eternal kind of light that fires us up and propels us forward. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. That's the way it is with God's love. We feel both energy and peace, and I hope that you have experienced these things, and I think all of us have. Sometimes we're a little reluctant to share them in public, but in our own private way, that's okay, because God gives us all that peace that passes all understanding. So on this day of Pentecost, a sound like the rush of a violent wind filled the house where they were all sitting. Tongues of light that looked like fire rested on each one of them, and they were filled or infused with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. They lost track of time. They lost track of where they were. They lost track of everything and anything except that experience. And everyone in the entire area saw it. They saw strange lights, they heard murmuring of voices, and they saw the phenomena, and they were amazed. This was an optimal human experience, one that the apostles and all who saw it would never forget. Thank God that they wrote all this stuff down for us, all the ones in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, that we have all these experiences, we have all these testimonies, that we know that is true, and then it is sealed with the Holy Spirit. Many study this thing called flow, and they tell us that we have ways of reaching this kind of state in which we are open to this kind of experience. Well, simply, sometimes we're taken by surprise about this phenomenon, as in the Pentecostal experience that's available to all of us. Not the, just the disciples of years ago, all of us. And we can find ways to reach this state of flow. Go with the flow in which we experience the spiritual connection to God. Daddy, Abba, Father. Can you imagine that we as humans have a connection to the Creator of the universe? We do. That's one of the reasons when he said, when you pray, yeah, go into your closet. Because he wants us to open up. Because he already knows everything about us. This world is in a mess. Look what's going on in our country. We're in a battle of good and evil. And evil is there right in front of us. Even if you go to the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball game. Not to be late, that kind of stuff. But it's here. We need to be aware of it. We need to be able to help people understand what evil is When you got Satan clubs in our schools and we can't even get a Bible club, something's going on. The Spirit is always moving around us. And we know the difference between good and evil. When we pray, when we worship, when we reverently sing, as Travis just did. When we focus on God. And more importantly, when we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us in a wonderful and redeeming way. So that we can open ourselves up to the experience of this true connection with God. And many in the past and present have experienced. That day of Pentecost, long, long time ago, after the disciples had spent weeks on end praying without ceasing, Jesus told them to do so. And they did. Staying often in the temple or in their rooms, they had seen the risen Christ. They had experienced the miracle of the resurrection. It is because of the resurrection of Christ that we have hope. He broke that bondage over sin and death. He broke that bondage over evil. We don't have to live in evil. We don't have to recognize that stuff and let it become a part of our society. They had this experience, the miracle of the resurrection. Now they prayed for change. And they were primed and ready for the Spirit's flow. Flow is a kind of a connective experience. It allows us to get outside our limited world for a moment and to connect with God in a raw and true way. When we allow the Spirit to touch our heart, we need to be ready for change. Change will ensue. Thank God I'm not the same Ralphie that I was 40 years ago. Did it have flashes of lightning or anything? But when you plant that seed of Christ in your heart and you let it grow and feed it and nurture it, you eventually, little by little, you become free, so to speak. Oh, you know, and it's amazing. Of course, sometimes we confuse it with our conscience. But nobody has to walk up to me now and tap me on the shoulder to tell me if I'm doing something wrong or I'm going someplace that I shouldn't go. Or it's my spirit quickens and voila, thank you, Jesus. That connected experience allows us to get outside of ourselves for a moment to connect with that God in a raw and true way. But when you allow the Spirit to touch your heart, be ready for that change. For no one comes out of a Pentecostal experience without being changed. So today, I invite all of us. My hope and prayer is you know what I'm talking about and you're always ready to experience it. But maybe you haven't experienced it in the fullness. I invite all of us to cultivate that condition. A prayer, meditation, openness to the Spirit's touch. I thank God for this little church because this little church is a praying church. Thank God for her prayer warriors that are here when we are guided by the Spirit. A church or a life guided by the Spirit will make an impact on the world. Now, we don't have the attendance or the membership that we used to have, but that Spirit is still here. And that Spirit will draw them. I always think about the many people that live around us, and God knows we have tried. We've done a lot of things to try to get more and more people to come to this little church. But I'm convinced that as people drive by, they get a sense that that little church over there is filled with God's Spirit, and the Spirit will draw. And I hope as you've grown up, if you go to Thomasville, Flowers Bakery up there, you can smell the bread being baked every day up there. When I grew up, there was a bakery in Le Moyne called Mambeck's. Every afternoon on the way home, you can smell that bread. And that's the way it is with God's Word. I'm hoping and praying that people will recognize that fresh bread is served here not only on Sundays, but any time we gather. And that sweet, sweet smell of the Spirit of the living God will draw and allow us to minister to them and share the hope that we have in Christ filled with the Spirit.